big day for all of us.
Especially you.
Pretty sure I don't overdo it.
Many television critics are already saying season 5 of Mad Men may wind up being the show's best so far. And even if it isn't, it still beats almost everything else on television. There has been a 17-month gap between seasons, but despite the wait, we're eager to find out what happens next. The fourth season ended with Don Draper impulsively proposing marriage to his secretary, Megan, while Joan Harris found herself pregnant after a brief liaison with Roger Sterling, and the ad firm Sterling Cooper Draper Price was still reeling from the loss of its lucrative Lucky Strikes account. To talk about the show and put it into some context within television history, we welcome New York Times television writer Bill Carter to the roundtable. Bill, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you.
Bill Carter joined the New York Times as a national media reporter in 1989. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Late Shift, as well as The War for Late Night, Monday Night Mayhem, and Desperate Networks. When you look at this show, how much have you seen of season 5? I should ask you first.
I've seen the first 2 hours.
And from all accounts, a hell of a premiere.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting and typical of the show in that it's not like anything else you're going to see. It doesn't have, you know, action. It's all about the characters, and it advances the story in intriguing ways and makes you say, well, where are they going with this? Because you wonder, like, when they set up relationships or they introduce a new character, you know this is going to be, there's a purpose for that. And I think it, more than anything else, a very intriguing introduction for this season.
One of the things that we wanted to talk with you about is how you put a show that is on the air into some context of, because we look at shows that are quality television and say, oh, it's an instant classic. Is that fair to say to any show?
Is it fair to say to any show?
Well, not any show, but I mean, is it yeah. fair to make that declaration of a program if it's good and worth it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the standards of television have gone up, I think, in a lot of ways. Because I think there's, that's on now that I think is art, and it used to totally be commerce. And I think AMC has done shows consistently that are in that category. And, you know, some of the cable shows are in that category now. And I think some of it really is due to Mad Men really took television in a different direction, and it's not a genre show. You know, it isn't like Lawyers or Cops or even Gangsters. It's advertising men. So yeah, I think it molded in a lot of ways, which is what gets a lot of attention. The show has gotten an enormous amount of attention for that.
And do you think that attention is largely deserved in the sense of that it is a quality program?
Oh, no question. I think from my point of view, it's as well conceived as any show I can remember in the last, you know, 10 to 20 years. If I was, you know, doing a list, I'd certainly put it in the top 5.
When you have a show that has a guiding hand and a creator like Matthew Weiner, who's such a strong presence and is the guiding force in the show, that can sometimes be very beneficial to a program. That can also, that can kill a show. What is it about him and the mission of that show that have worked for up to now four seasons?
I think a show like this that is conceived in this out of the mold kind of way, it's a very individual vision. So Matt was a writer on The Sopranos, and I think he saw the way David Chase ran The Sopranos. It was, yes, you brought in other writers, but it was all your vision, and you organized it according to your plan. And if a writer came up with ideas that are interesting but didn't fit that plan, and it's quirky in that way, because I wouldn't say he's linear. He isn't looking at it in a linear way that other people look at television shows. He's going for theme, and I don't think you could do it without him. You know, there was a time in the past year when it was being negotiated when it looked like he might leave the show because of, you know, the contract dispute, and he'd give up time in the show, and he didn't want to give up some of the characters in the show because they wanted to tighten the budget. It's just not the same show, and all the actors say that, absolutely. He has a very firm hand. It's vision. I think that's almost always better for a show because you don't doubt anymore about what's happening on a show. It's very consistent, and a a person really talented is running it, I think that makes all the difference.
You had a piece in the Times that you wrote about, just to give you an idea of his commitment to the accuracy of the show, where, I mean, right up till the last minute, they replaced a song in the show because the song came out later than the time that was being depicted, right?
That's right, and that's very much part of his vision for the show. I saw a feature done by, I think it was on ABC News. They went on set, and every single piece on the set is of that era, to the point where if something is, you know, he will have to get rid of it. And the song choice was perfectly an indication of that. And this song that's contained in the body of the show, this isn't one of his, you know, end piece songs. For those, I think he probably would be all right with having a show that didn't form with the timeline. But because it's in the body of the show, he has to say, no, wait a minute, if that, I got a substitute in. Even at the last minute, that show has been finished and locked for a very long time. No. So it just shows you how scrupulous he is about that, that he went back to change it. I don't know what song he put in, but he went back to change it.
The song was "The Look of Love" that he took out, and
that he took out, yes.
And you point out in your piece that other producers might be content to offer an "oops" and say that they mistimed the song, but Matthew Winter isn't going to do that.
No, that's. I mean, obviously, the show's locked, you know, and so it's off by a year or half a year or whatever. Nobody watching it is going to be stopped in their tracks and say, well, wait a minute now. I don't think that so-and-so recorded that song before. You know, it's just not what the average viewer is going to do. For a creator this serious about his art, it's critical. You know, I think he would say, no different from a composer, an artist, or anything else, he wants it to be absolutely true to his vision. His vision is everything is as it was in that era.
It seems like HBO may have started this in their series to make it allowed, but, I mean, a 17-month wait for a season, and of course there was a contract dispute in the middle of this, but to assume, and by all accounts, the audience is still there, and they're waiting for season five, and that says a lot about the show as well.
I think this is going to be very interesting, because in theory, great concern over this long suspension, but in fact it's worked out that show that is this followed, it, especially by the media, it has created a frenzy to see it and to catch up with it. It's never been a hugely popular show in terms of, you know, total audience numbers, but it is very, very popular with all media outlets, because it is kind of a just a classy show, but it's about New York, it's about advertising, it has all these media elements. So they love, and they've been just hungering to have it come back, and you've seen an enormous amount of publicity for it coming back, which I think will totally wipe out any problem they have with it being so long in between. The only problem you have, and I certainly had this problem, is that, you know, I didn't even look at the old episodes, so I wasn't entirely up to date with it. And when they sent out these screeners, they didn't include the, you know, previously on. So you really did begin right there, and you're like, wait a minute, was Peggy dating this guy? You know, and you're like saying, what was going on? And you have to sort of like let it wash over you and say, oh yes, now I remember that was going on, because it has been a long, long time. But as you pointed out, The Sopranos did it, and it worked. Fine. I mean, you know, if a show is really beloved, then it only makes the, you know, the heart grow fonder, the absence.
Do you have a sense that this is the final season?
No, it's definitely not. They agreed to extend it, and it will be, this is the fifth season, it will run seven.
And of 13 episodes, is that what they're doing?
Right, and that's another interesting thing, you know, this whole cable model has really changed television, because you know, the networks have to run 22 or 24 episodes and extend it over a whole season, and you get a lot of repeats in the middle, et cetera. These shows are 13. They begin with, you know, the start of a story in that season, and they run straight through. There's no repeats, no interruption, and it's way more consistent with how people watch television. The only thing that isn't consistent, people have to wait a week, and you see more and more people saying, I don't want to do that, and so they record it and watch them all. That seems to be even more popular now, is to try to, you know, experience those, you know, in mass. But the storytelling is much easier this way. You know, it's week by week by week, and you get caught up in the story, and I think it pays off much better than stretching it out over a full season.
We look forward to seeing season 5 this Sunday on AMC. Bill Carter is a television writer for the New York Times. Bill, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, always great to talk to you.
A great pleasure. Bill Carter with the New York Times, speaking about Mad Men making its 5th season premiere this Sunday on AMC. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.